every time I would sing, it was like I had to push through so much, like there was an invisible ceiling hanging over my head.
You are instructed in God's Word to have a zero tolerance to fear so you can walk in God's marvelous light. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria and Kelly Copeland bring an encouraging word to overcome fear.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's with us today, and she's going to be sharing the Word of God. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Mom.
You're a chip off the old block.
Two blocks.
A couple of blocks.
Yeah, it's an honor to be a chip off of y'all. Y'all aren't too old anyway. Y'all don't look old, so that's good too.
Thank you very much.
But it's an honor to be in this family. And I was thinking the other day how blessed I am that I grew up knowing how to walk and live by faith.
Oh, we are blessed in that area. That's awesome.
Knowing how to stand against fear. I mean, there has been just this zero tolerance for fear.
That's right.
You know, I was, I told them the story this week about I refused to fear. That's what I said when my daughter was sick and God healed her. And that was key to her deliverance. But I've just always had this, you know, I mean, Dad would say, well, we don't tolerate fear. Don't be afraid. And that was a command from the Lord. And I just grew up thinking, no, you know, absolutely no fear. So of course, I've had moments and I've had opportunities and I've had fears that lodged down deep inside of me that Jesus had to diagnose. But once I knew they were there,
you dumped it.
I'm done.
That's right.
So I remember this time, Mom, we were at camp, at Super Kid Camp. I was not a camp child. I was a camp grown up. In fact, I was heading the camp, so it wasn't that long ago, maybe 7 years ago, maybe eight. And there was this ropes course that we were taking the counselors through. So the little kids weren't there yet. We were just doing some team building with the counselors. And there was this ropes course and rock climbing walls and all that. So there's this one post, 25 or so feet tall, with a wooden platform at the top about this big. And you're supposed to climb up there. Of course, you had a harness on, but somehow it's just hard to remember that you have a harness on as you're climbing way up there. Somehow you get up there, you sit down, and then somehow you've got to get your feet where your rear end was and stand up. Well, that in itself didn't look like fun to me. But then on top of that, the pole, when you're up on it, I'm watching people on it and it just sways like this. And then the people are supposed to jump out and grab a line that's out in front of them. And then you come down safely. Well, I looked at that and I had this thought, I am not doing that.
I had no idea camp was so traumatic.
Well, everything, if you allow fear in, it's going to lead to traumatic some way or other. So I was just like, I'm not doing that. And I mean, it came up from the inside of me. I thought, now I have to. I don't want to do it and I'm afraid of it. So now I have to do it. Because fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Here I am about to teach these kids how to walk and live by faith, and I'm afraid of a pole. So I took authority over myself, took authority over the fear. You know, I mean, you can look, there's a lot of words that are disguise your feelings as fear, but they're fear, but they're disguised as concern, wisdom. Wisdom gets tagged a lot for being fear. I mean, fear gets tagged as being wisdom. Like, oh, well, it's wisdom not to get up on that pole. Well, that may be, but it was fear that day keeping me from it. So concern, worry, well, I just have a lot of things on my mind. Well, that's fear, and it's carrying the care. And when we see it, we have to, I guess that's the crux of what we've been saying this week, is to be free, live a life free of it. You've got to resist it. The word says resist the devil. First it says submit to God.
Yeah.
Resist the devil and he will flee. So when you see fear like that, it is Satan's hook. It's like a fisherman casting a hook and the fish grabs it, the fisherman's got him. And that is what fear is. It's
fear
a
gives
hook.
Satan place the way faith gives God place.
It does.
And you get to choose.
You choose. Yeah.
But
so
you
that
get
day,
rid of fear by the word of God.
Yeah.
And by resisting fear, but then also get rid of it by the word. What does the word say about the sickness that they've told me that is, it's incurable? Well, the scripture says that every sickness and every disease is under the curse and that we've been redeemed from the curse. So if you don't know those words, you can't turn to them. You got to know what the Bible says in order to live free.
So putting the word in.
And that's what the scripture says. You'll know the truth and truth will make you free. But you have to use it.
You have to know it.
Yep.
And you have to use it. And you have to keep that daily
yeah.
word coming in your
I
heart.
Agree.
Second
every day.
Timothy 4 talks about what's in us and Amen. Putting it in. It's renewed day by day. Let me finish my story and then I want you to talk about putting the word in. Because you're the most masterful, committed word putter in her that I have ever known. This woman loves the word like breathing. And because of that, you don't operate in fear.
No,
and when
no.
you see it, you cast it out. And I learned it from y'all. So that day at camp, I got my harness on. I climbed up that 25-foot pole. Somehow, I don't know why, how, I got my feet where my rear end was. And I'm standing up there. And, Mom, the whole pole was doing like this. And I'm moving, and I got to jump out. And I'm not, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not that tall. I know you can't tell here, but you could say I was vertically challenged, but I'm not that short. But I am not very tall. At that moment, I was vertically challenged because you got to jump out and grab a line. And I thought, there's no way. I'm too short to jump that far to grab that line. So you know what I did? I stood up there, I took authority over fear, and I did a perfect swan dive into nothing.
Well, Kelly,
there's no way I could reach the line, but I had a harness on, and I knew that harness would keep me.
I'm not letting you go to camp anymore.
I knew that harness, see, when we're in fear, it's so irrational. That was irrational in that moment because I had a harness on and there were people, strong guys there holding the lines of the harness. I knew I was okay, but I still had fear. So fear is not rational. Mm. In fact, it's more dangerous when it's irrational because you can't go talk your way through it when it's just irrational fear that you've received from the devil. And but
fear
that day,
spirit.
It is a spirit that comes. It's the word of Satan that comes. You know, the Bible talks about that word of faith that we receive. Well, that's the word of fear
yep.
that Satan delivers.
That's
and if
right.
you receive it, it will ruin and
Opens
crash your life. It will give him every open door. So anyway, long story shorter, I did a dive. The harness caught me and I was fine. But we have a harness. His name is Jesus. We
yes,
have angels,
amen.
The blood, the word. Jesus will fix it if we screw it up.
We have a parachute.
We have a parachute of the highest order.
Amen.
And the more aware we are of His word, the more aware of His love for us, the more aware. I mean, if you have a lot of fear, maybe just start in the book of John where He just talks about how much He loves you. You know, or the first, second, third John, how much He loves you. Mom, it's critical to have that in your heart
yes, it
when
is.
Those moments come, and it's critical to let Him diagnose you with that fear. If it's there, He'll show you. And His Word, the Bible says in 2 Timothy that His Word shows us what's wrong with our lives. So if you're not putting the Word in, you're missing a huge weapon.
Well, it gives light.
Against
the
fear.
Word gives light. You take the Word in your eyes, in your ears, and it gets down in your heart. And it gives you light, and it says, this is right, this is righteous, this is unrighteous. Choose righteous. We can do that. You have to know what the Bible says and obey it. And when you do, things work for you. You got faith to deal with whatever comes up, and you don't have any condemnation because you were disobedient. That's important. In Jesus' name, we just have to live free in the Word of God.
You can't do it without the Word.
No, you can't. And don't even try.
So everybody thinks, oh, I'm so busy. I'd love to do that, but I'm just so busy. Well, you know, I'm sure we all think we're
Everybody's busy.
Everybody's busy. But tell about when you made that decision, you didn't try to make that decision and fit it in your day. You changed your day.
I put the Word first in order to spend time in it. And it changed me. It changed my life. And it's still changing my life. The Word of God is the truth. The Bible says the truth will make you free. If you want to be free, this is the way to do it. Glory to God.
You know, I've loved watching you over the years because I was probably a teenager, I'm guessing, when you made that decision to pray an hour and spend time in the Word every day. Mm-hmm. And I would see you, if you had to be somewhere early in the morning, then you would get up earlier. You'd get up at 4 o'clock sometimes in the morning just to be able to, you put the priority on spending that time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And those things are in you, still speaking to you, and you consistently.
Yeah, it changed my life.
Constantly feed your heart, feed your spirit. I mean,
amen.
We know, I mean, I don't go too long without feeding my body.
That's right.
Because my body says, we need some food, like about right now. I'm wanting some food because I haven't eaten in a while. Well, you can get so filled with the Word that your spirit goes, your soul begins to yearn for that Word to fill it up.
Praise God.
Like a dry place.
Praise God.
And I've just enjoyed watching you live your life like that.
Well, thank you, Kelly. That honors me. I appreciate it.
There's a woman, I really have taught so much about her, and even when I think I've heard everything about her, then the Lord shows me more, is the woman at the well. And you might say, well, she doesn't really exhibit fear, but she exhibits, I think she does. Shame is fear. Shame mm-hmm. is fear of repercussion for whatever people are going to think. And she had so much shame and fear of people that she came to the well when nobody was there. And the time to do that is in the middle of the day when everybody's at lunch or at home and they're not at the well in the middle of the day. I believe because of the shame that she had because of her life.
Hmm.
So sometimes fear comes from the things you're actually literally doing, and you're setting yourself up for Satan to take you down because of the way you're living your life. But this woman at the well, she got in conversation with Jesus. We talked about letting Jesus diagnose you. Man, don't stop with fear. Let him diagnose you for pride or shame or any kind of other thing. Let him diagnose you for hatred or laziness or unkindness or
That's right.
gossip, any of it. He's ready. You know, we've talked a lot about correction. And this is just a time of cleaning up. It's an awakening time, Mom. Miracles. We are headed for the most amazing
yes,
miracles
Lord,
we've ever
granted.
Seen. We are headed to
we
harvest
receive it.
Time. We are headed to some things in God that we've never seen. But, you know, I was thinking the other day we were talking about an awakening, which it's time. It's coming. And revival. In every church, we're already seeing it. In the places that we go and, you know, in our own lives, we're seeing this awakening. And I was thinking about the other day when you set your clock to wake up in the morning, and it wakes you up, this clock. And what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? I mean, for me, you might say, well, I go get my coffee. Well, that's still part of waking up, so that doesn't count. But when you first wake up and you get your coffee and you really wake up, you start cleaning up. And that's what's going on in the body of Christ right now. We're awakening to God's love. We're awakening to His presence. We're starting to clean up our lives because He's pointing things out to us.
Yes, amen.
And when we become awake to Him and His words and His love, primarily, He's awakening us to His love. He's awakening His body to His love. And when we become aware, we start hearing Him say, you need to get rid of this. You need to get rid of fear. You need to get rid of shame. You need to get rid of pride. You need to clean this stuff out of your life. Well, that day when He was talking to her at the well, I don't know if, go back and read it. We're not going to turn there today, but he kept asking her questions. He would ask her a question, and He kept talking to her until He could get her to ask for the thing that He needed. He led her to the right words to say. And we're going to talk about that some next week. There's a scripture that talks about He'll give you the words and the wisdom to say. Mm-hmm. And He led her to the place where she asked for living water. Now, she's thinking one thing, but He is thinking another. And all He needed was her asking for something. And so He says to her, she says, yes, give me that living water. She's thinking, man, this living water, then I don't have to come back to this well ever again. I don't have to come face those bitty old women that just criticize me for my life, or they look down on me, and I don't have to come here during the hottest part of the day to get my water. So yes, give me that eternal living water. But that wasn't what He was talking about. And we know from the Word of God that He changed her life. I'm not sure it even says everything that He said to her. I don't think it's recorded, but because he didn't say that much to her. But she left there saying to her village, come talk to a man. Come look at a man that told me everything I ever
she
did.
She kind of stretched it a little bit, didn't she?
Well, I don't know.
Everything
we don't know what
I
all
ever did.
Well, we don't know what all He said to her, but she looked at Him and was like, wow, you're a prophet, you know? But what did He so graciously offered Himself to her? But her part of it was to receive what He was saying.
That's right.
Her part of it was to receive the diagnosis. And our part of it is with Jesus to look to Him so much that we receive the diagnosis that He's making to us. Because what He said to her that day was, go get your husband. Well, He knew she didn't have a husband. But she didn't know that He knew she didn't have a husband.
That's true.
And her responses could have been, okay, you know what? Just wait right here. I'll go and get my husband. I'll be right back. And just never show back up because of the shame. But what she did, instead of responding that way to cover her shame, she said to Him, I don't have a husband. She just got really honest with Him. And what He said to her was, you're right, you don't have a husband. And then He went on to tell her what her life was really like. And the reason that stands out to me today is we just have to let the Lord get, we just have to get honest with Him. I mean, the other day when He told me I had fear about Jenny going to the Middle East, which she left last night, and I got rid of the fear because Jesus pointed it out to me, and I was not afraid at all. I'm just like, move on, go. And the last time she went, I dealt with fear about her going. The Lord pointed it out to me. I dealt with it. And it's terrible to say, but I barely thought about her on a day-to-day basis. I just would like think about her when she'd call or text, mm-hmm. or I might have something I called her or text her, how are you doing? But there were days I didn't even think about her. Sorry, Jenny. You know, not in a way that I didn't care, but in the way that I wasn't caring.
You weren't concerned.
I was not concerned.
You drove your care.
And so He's so good. When you let Him diagnose you, He will show you the things to do and pray to be free. That's what He did with her. She got so free, her whole village got free. You know, when you go through hard times, in Psalm 23, it talks about your cup runneth over. He will heal you to the place that you run over and you affect everybody else. But that day, she got honest with Him, and He started telling her about her life, and she got free. If we will let Him diagnose us with whatever, fear, shame, pride, any of those, all those are fear-based, He will tell us what to do, tell us what to say, and we can go free. And then those things are connected to so many things.
That's true.
And even other people's deliverance. You know, Mom, we have a friend that we're about to see a feature. I love Denise Renner. Her heart is so precious. But she let Jesus point out some things to her. You're going to see in this testimony. Jesus pointed out some things to her, and she received forgiveness and deliverance, and she didn't even know how her freedom was connected to it. Watch this. You're going to enjoy this.
I'd be driving to work, and I heard this man singing, and I loved his voice. And of course, it was so exhortive. I was just so excited. And so he began to preach about, by his stripes you're healed. Well, I'd been a Christian for a long, long, long time. I loved Jesus with all my heart, but I had had cystic acne since I was 12. And it was all my neck, was all my cheeks, and it was in my forehead. And it was painful. It was unattractive and embarrassing. And I'd been to doctors, I'd had dry eyes, I'd taken antibiotics, I had done everything that they told me to do. And I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I had been to the doctors, I'd spent my money, but I just grew worse, you know? And so I'm listening on the radio, this is in 1978, listening on the radio, and I hear that by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed, Isaiah 53. And it was the first time I ever heard that scripture. And having a disease for 13 years, you think, well, this is pretty settled. I'm gonna have this for a long, long time. And when I heard that, hope came into my heart. And I thought, do you mean that it could be possible that I could be healed for me? And so I began to do what, you know, Brother Copeland said, was to confess the word. So I would look in the mirror and I would, and it was pretty bad. And I would say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I'd sing, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, you know. And I would say it and sing it all the time. So this went on, and then I didn't see any change. And I was listening to another radio preacher one day, and it was a woman, but the Holy Ghost was speaking through her voice. And she said, do you really want to be healed? Well, when she said that, it was like I was exposed to what was inside of my soul. And because I got attention from my mom taking me to the doctor, buying me medicine, she felt sorry for me really because it was so bad. I got attention from my mom. And when she said, do you really want to be healed? It exposed that love for self-pity. And at that moment, I repented. And I said, Lord, I want to be healed. And I kept confessing the word. Of course, I was listening to Brother Copeland every day, and I kept confessing the word. One night I went to bed, just like I had for 13 years with cystic acne on my face. And I woke up the next morning and I went to the mirror, which is what I always did. And I went to the mirror and absolutely every single thing on my neck, my cheeks, my forehead was all gone, every bit. And I was completely healed. You know, a few years more went by, and every time I would sing, it was like I had to push through so much, like there was an invisible ceiling hanging over my head. And I really didn't know what that was. I couldn't say what that was. And I went to these people's house and just to be with them and pray. And so this one man, he prayed for me that night. I had never fallen out in the spirit. I was on the floor on the carpet for 2 hours. I could not get up. And the Holy Spirit was just all over me. And while I was on the carpet, he let me see myself in junior high, in high school, in college, as an adult. And he let me see myself that I was as good as everybody else around me. Because I always felt less than everybody else because of my face. And in that place of prayer, in those 2 hours, he absolutely delivered me from shame. And it changed my life.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.